Well, welcome once again to Voice of Reason Radio. Glad to have you guys with us on this 29th of April, 2024. For myself, this is actually kind of early morning recording, and trying to do this before I go to work today. That way I can get it out and have you guys have this week's program up. This weekend, you know, as things do, we had just a number of things that we had to take care of, including laying my stepmother's ashes to rest this weekend. So it was just a number of things that had to get taken care of family-wise and around the home. So I'm able to try and get this out today. And I'm doing this today on what would normally be our attempt to do an anniversary episode, because today actually represents 8 years of Voice of Reason Radio being quote unquote on the air. Rich and I started this back 8 years ago. Our first episode was on Ephesians chapter 4. You guys can check that out on our website. You can go to voiceofreasonradio.podbean.com and you can scroll and find the very first episode we did back then and maybe cringe a little bit about how bad we were back when we first started. Although sometimes I wonder if we've gotten better. I'm not entirely sure. So, cannot do an anniversary episode today because my good buddy Rich and his family still dealing with a great deal of just tribulation and trials that they're going through right now. And our hope is that he can be with us together this weekend, and we'll do a proper acknowledgement of the Lord being gracious to us to have us on for 8 years. So really grateful to have you guys. If you are watching this via the YouTube stream, I am trying to work with how to make video quality better. When I first started doing this, I really didn't pay as close attention to the quality as and the settings on there as I probably should have. And somewhere along the way, the quality, something on the settings got changed, and I don't know what I did. And so I'm slowly trying to, go online and look up things like OBS, which is our video recording program, and figure out how to play with the output, because it looks great when if I'm looking at the video screen right now, my quality of the image looks fine to me. But the way it compresses all that together, makes it a product to be uploaded, changes. And so you have to play with things like the settings and the output and the recording quality. One of the things that I learned is that you can change. So if my camera and the resolution on my computer are 1080p, but it's not coming out right, I can step it down to 720 and that cleans it up. You know, got to put a filter on it and stuff. And these are things I'm barely understanding because I just have never really messed with any kind of video editing quality. So if you notice some changes over the coming episodes that the quality just seems weird or it's changing, I'm trying to learn. So bear with me on that. But as I said, please be in prayer for Rich and his family. Just a lot of things that they've had to face and a lot of things that the Lord is carrying them through. And so the more that you can do anything for them would be just be praying for them and just coming along and encouraging him as much as you can. I think that would be of great assistance to him and his family. So that's what we're doing. This today is just going to be a general episode. I'm going to base it on an article I put out this last week. I hope will be very helpful to everybody. Just basically, watching our tongues. We've talked about this on the show before, but I try to, make a biblical case for that because there's just, especially with social media, there's just so much that goes on social media that we don't have a tendency to do, in my opinion, with one another. Sorry, I got an itch going on here. And so my hope was is that maybe it just reminds us that while we are free to speak and while freedom of speech is very important to us as Christians, we are not free to speak, however, or whatever we want, because the scriptures do constrain us in that regard. So that's my hope today, is to take you through some of that, maybe give you something to think about as you go into this week, and especially as we live in a time when we live in a day and age where division and rhetoric and harshness are kind of the watchwords of the day. It's how we respond to everything. And we are still constrained as Christians about how we deal with some of those issues. And so we don't want to, you know, I think it's easy to get into the mode, well, we have to say these things because that's what they're saying and nobody's going to listen unless we talk this way. And people need to understand that this is exactly how bad their position is, et cetera. So I just want to say that, you know, adopting the ways of the world is not the way we are called to communicate the word of God. And we are still to be his representatives no matter what we do and what we say. So ultimately, the scriptures have to be our guide on that. In fact, not just our guide, but our limiting factor. It's what determines for us how we ought to speak. So let's be constrained by that. So with that in mind, couple things. Number one, you might notice my mug. This is from Just Thinking Podcast. I got a couple of them when I was at G3 a couple years ago. And this one, I love this from Daryl. Make your haters your motivators. Reason I'm drinking this one, besides the fact it was the clean one this morning, this one seemed entirely appropriate because over this last week, we had a comment on one of our YouTube videos back when, you know, if you have been following the show and you know that we have a YouTube channel, you know that the vast majority of what's on there is what Podbean, our hosting site, puts together. It's the audio version with the kind of the show logo, and you can listen to it on YouTube. It's not a video per se, but you know it streams on YouTube. And the one we did back in November, right after I retired from law enforcement, there was somebody who is not a fan of law enforcement and managed to stumble across that particular program and left a word salad. And I mean a word salad of how much he did not like that particular episode and how we were just self-congratulatory, backslapping, and how pathetic and what a sham and what a shame. And, you know, in honor of our hater, he's going to be our motivator today and say thank you for at least listening to the program, sir. So that is how we treat it. If you are going to come on and make a lot of comments about the show, hey, you're welcome to. We are not required to engage someone who feels like the only reason he's there is to stab you in the back and yell at you in a lot of words and tell you you're a terrible person for putting out the show that you put out. Hey, all I can do is say thank you for at least listening to the program. I'm not going to argue with you because it doesn't sound like you want to have a real conversation. So thank you for listening. You motivate us to do more, and we will continue to do as much as we possibly can. So with that in mind, I always want to remind you, we are part of the Christian podcast community, and you should check out the very many programs on there you will be very much blessed by. Part of that program is Apologetics Live, which is Andrew Rappaport's weekly live stream program that he does. It's every Thursday, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. And it's a live stream that you can see via Facebook, Twitter, or X, and YouTube. And basically, it's a great program for you can actually come in, either join the program, which he gives instructions on the website how to do that through a program called StreamYard, and you can actually engage directly, or you can be in the chat and send in questions. And every question is valid. Some questions are more odd than others, but he's more than willing to engage anybody. But this last week, I think I told you guys on the last program, we were going to talk about the Mark Driscoll situation, and I think we had a pretty good conversation. It actually ran the gamut of not just Mark Driscoll, but to other areas as well, including questions about biblical patriarchy and biblical manhood and such. So it actually ran long. I mean, we went well over 2.5 hours. It's usually a 2-hour program, but that's one of the programs that you can listen to, and I would encourage you to do it. And while that one show, well, Apologetics Live is indeed live streamed, you can actually find the podcast version on there as well. So I would encourage you to go check that episode out. I think you'll find it very interesting, very helpful. Also want to encourage you to check out slavetotheking.com. That is our website where we post the most recent content, including recent videos, audio programs, and blog articles as I find time to get stuff written. So hopefully that will give you everything. By the way, if you are interested, I'm not good at putting this out, we do have a Patreon page that's also on the Slave to the King website. If you are interested in supporting the program, we have a couple of supporters that more or less pays the bills, but registration, keeping domain names and stuff like that, or just little things that we have to do. If that's something you want to help with, you can. If you're not, then we always say the best ways to support the program are to pray for us and to just share the content. If you find that there's material on here that is helpful to you, share it. Put it out there for other people. Not so we can grow our audience and have a big platform. That's never what we've been about. But we want it to be, as we say, a blessing to the body of Christ. And so this is just one way we can do that, is put out content that will help you guys think through the matters biblically. So that's our encouragement to you today, is if you find the show helpful, share this with others so that maybe they can benefit from it as well. All right, so that's everything housekeeping-wise and just kind of updating you on where we're at. What I do want to do is talk to you about an article I put out this week. This is one of those articles that's never nearly as popular as some of the stuff that is kind of the hot-button topic of the day. In fact, sometimes it can be a bit annoying to some people because it addresses something that's kind of... it's an issue for them because maybe it pushes back on how they handle things or how they address things. So what I did is, and I'll show you here, the reason I want to kind of share this is because it's still an ongoing issue. I know we've talked about it on the show before, but we really have tried to be people who are... I don't want to say insistent, but just consistent. Maybe let's just say consistent about how we communicate to you and to the people that we interact with on social media, because we believe that the scriptures constrain our speech. And it's important that we consider that, because right now, at a time when divisiveness in our culture, in our nation, is really almost at an all-time high, consider right now that on multiple campuses around the country, you have people who are, I would say, not really having protests, but like taking over campuses and demanding not just, not being anti-Israel alone, but also, even saying things like, we need to destroy America. Why? Because America is supporting Israel. And because these spaces are part of universities, and universities may have policies about how and when you do certain things, and you can do free speech, you can do protests, but it's still, some of these places have rules about, okay, time, place, and manner, and we can argue about whether that's right or not, but they do. And so they're saying, look, you don't have permission to have it all set up like this. You can't just come in and camp out on the university property. So you're going to have to pick up your tents and move, and so we do this properly later. And they're refusing to go, and so people are being arrested. But the rhetoric behind it isn't just... you've got people, literally, there's a video clip of two young ladies who had came down to support this university. I think it was NYU. And they don't even know what the NYU was specifically protesting. They just knew they had to come there and be supportive. But the rhetoric behind it, behind people who are very ignorant, is very volatile. Like I said, demanding the destruction of Israel, demanding the destruction of the United States and its capitalist system, etc. We are at a time when the rhetoric is just becoming more and more angry, more and more divisive. And there is a great temptation on our part to become part of that throng, but arguing in the opposite direction. And free speech is something we all value. It's something that we all should value and fight for, especially in America. But at the same time, just because we have the ability to speak freely doesn't mean that as the Christian, we have the right to say whatever we want or act however we want because we have that ability. God still gives us instructions. God still commands of us how we are to present ourselves when we represent Him. And mind you, if I don't care if you're having a discussion about the gospel or if you're having a political discussion, or if you're talking about whose football team is the best, you still are commanded to restrain your speech so that you might honor God in the things that you say. Now, before I go any further, please, please do not misunderstand. Don't hear me say something I'm not saying. I am not the, well, everything has to be winsome and nuanced. We have to be very careful about our public testimony. We could damage it before the heathen. We could really look bad, and so we have to be very winsome. We really have to not really take a position. No, I'm not saying that at all. Please do not mistake me arguing that Scripture tells us how we are to speak, excuse me, versus the content is that we can't take a strong position or a biblical position because we're afraid it might offend someone. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not worried about offending someone provided I am not the offense. The Word of God is the offense. It will do that all on its own. And we firmly, passionately, with no apology, speak the truth, okay? But we are to be constrained as the Word directs us so that we ourselves are not misrepresenting God. We're not adding to the offense. Oh, I thought I turned those things off. Apparently, Max still wants me to do these reaction things, and I can only seem to turn them off on things like Zoom or FaceTime or something. So I'm sorry about the funny little emoji things that come up. I have not figured out a way to permanently turn those off. Mac, we got to have a talk. I hate those things. So if you're not listening via audio, you obviously don't see the video screen where it was I moved my hand and my thumb was in the correct position that my Mac decided that means I was giving a thumbs up and gave a thumbs up emoji. So really, none of those things I haven't figured out how to completely get rid of. But with that said, there is a difference between the winsome nuance crowd, like the big Eva telling us never to take a position because it might be offensive, versus being unnecessarily harsh, unnecessarily spewing vitriol and rhetoric that only adds to the offense and serves little more than just to, you know, be a vent for us to show how upset we are about something. And there's just that difference there that we have to be aware of. So anybody that listens to this program and says, "Oh, you're just trying to neuter our speech. You're not hating sin enough. You're not really showing how wicked sin is, and we need to be tough on these issues." Look, there's a reason why we took the position we did with Mark Driscoll, because Mark Driscoll does unnecessarily vitriolic speech, part of one of the things that disqualified him as a pastor, because you can speak the truth without doing those things. You can be passionate, you can be firm, and that message can be plenty offensive on its own without us adding to it. And when God commands us by his word how we are to speak on those issues without watering down the truth, why do I get to change the rule book? I don't. It's God is the one who commands it. So it's that important. So just going to take you through a few things I said in the article. I'll put the article link in the show notes so you can read it more thoroughly. But this is kind of just to give you kind of a Cliff's Notes version. And not everybody likes to read articles on the web. I love writing. I love sharing. I hope people write. I am terrible about reading articles because if I read, I'm usually looking in a book or on my Kindle because it's easier on my eyes. Reading on a screen isn't always so easy. So I figured doing the episode, some people don't always like to read articles online. So maybe the episode will help, just give you that understanding of what we're talking about. So, pardon me, didn't get to the mute button fast enough. Let's just go through this a little bit. So again, as I said, we are very concerned as Christians about the ability to speak freely. We know that there's an attack on that going on right now. Certainly, what's going on those campuses around the country, a lot of people are like, well, that kind of speech is totally fine. But if I were to get up on in that same campus space, open my Bible and begin to read, And let's say I opened it to Deuteronomy and I talked about what the Bible says about sexual immorality. The police would be there very quickly escorting me off the campus, most likely. And there are those who say that biblical truth is harmful because it makes certain people feel bad about themselves. And if they feel bad, that's mental harm. And if it's mental harm, that's the same as yelling fire in a crowded theater. So therefore, it can't be free speech. It's just too dangerous. So the Christian obviously is very aware of this, very aware that any limits on speech can be something that is easily turned against the Christian and against Scripture. We know that's coming. We know that's what's happening. The sad part is, and I put this in the article, is that those who are advocating this are very ignorant of history and very much fail to understand that if you can get a law or an amendment in place that ends free speech, eventually that speech will be turned against you as well. So you can think all you want that you're the hero and your speech will never be limited. It absolutely will be. That's history. That's what's going on right now. It's okay. Sidebar, all these going back to these campus protests, people are saying, we need to listen to the youth. We need to, the youth of the future, et cetera. We need to deal. You know, they're the ones that are going to set, move us forward. Y'all that say these things really need to look at the history books. Like that's what happened in communist China. That's what happened in Nazi Germany. These are ways that totalitarians take control, and they do it through taking control of your kids. There's a reason why parental rights, which I think is really a bad way to put it, but it's the one everybody understands. Parental rights is really important, and it shouldn't even just be parental rights. It just simply should be that the parents are the parents of the children and no one else is. And nobody else gets to take that role. But that argument is extremely important because that's how totalitarians move forward. They do it through the youth. And we saw it in Germany. Nazi Germany saw it in communist China. And guess what? It's happening here on American shores. So do with that as you will. Going back to what I was saying. So they're ignorant of what will happen to them. But they want to go full assault against free speech. So the Christian recognizes this. Christians should fight against this. The Christian should take a very open stance about, no, we cannot limit speech. Free speech is essential because it is part of how we communicate the gospel. Now, the gospel will go forth whether there's free speech or not. Communist China still has Christians in it. All right. Places like the Middle East, North Korea, we said this before, the gospel will go forth whether there is free speech or not. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't care about it, but just recognize that even if we were to lose it tomorrow, which is always possible, the gospel will still go forth. But while we have the ability, we should stand up and say, no, it's wrong. You can't tell a Christian what they can and can't say. But with that in mind, as I said before, we have an authority that governs our speech. It's not the Constitution. It's not the laws of the United States. It's not the laws of any other nation. It's simply that the scriptures themselves actually tell us how we may speak. And so to that end, one of the things I address is James chapter 3, and it starts in there. It says in the beginning of that chapter, verse 6, and the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. That is not a neutral stance about the tongue and the nature of speech. James is, goes into this chapter full force talking about how wicked we can be with our tongues, just how dangerous we can be when it comes to speaking the truth of God. Bear with me as I try to reach my Bible and not knock things over. How wicked we can be with our tongues, how desperately dangerous we can be. And I think that's something that we as Christians don't stop to think about in a day and age when we're trying to push back against a wicked culture that really would prefer we were just gone. when you speak the truth of the gospel, when you speak the truth of Scripture, what happens? Well, the wicked are convicted. They know that they that the Scriptures tell them that their sins are vile and they will be judged, and yet they don't want to hear it. They want you to shut up. They don't even want you to exist because your existence reminds them how wicked they are. And so it's hard for us to consider that our own speech pushing back against that could actually be sinful. I mean, look, we're fighting against this wicked, evil, sinful culture. You're right, we are, and we should. And we should defend speech. But our own tongues can still be used wrongly, even when we think we're fighting for the right reasons. So it's going back to chapter 3, I just want to point out here, he says in verse 2, "For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, also able to bridle his whole body." Bridling our tongues is important. What, you know, not sinning in what we say is important. But he goes on to say, if we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, well, we guide their body, their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also, though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of many great things. The tongue is something that, if we control this, it controls everything else. Why? Well, go back to what Christ said in Matthew 12:34, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." See, our tongue is a revelation of what's going on in our heart. My tongue isn't independent. It doesn't have its own mind. It doesn't have its own will. It's only going to say what I want it to say, and that desire of what I want to say comes from what's in my own heart. So it's important to understand, if we speak wickedly, it's because there's wickedness in our hearts. I know that's hard to grasp, especially in an day and age like we're living in. But they're saying this and they're doing that, and we have to speak against it. You're right. But you are still constrained in what you say and how you say it, because those Scriptures tell you you can be revealing out of the wickedness of your own heart if you are speaking sinfully. And that's one of the problems, is that we see all this vile speech against us, all these wicked acts, all this evil pressure brought against us to shut up. We don't want to hear from you, Christians. You guys are the ones causing the problems. You're the ones resulting in all this quote-unquote oppression. We want you to shut up and go away. And so they will do anything possible to mischaracterize and to denigrate the Christian church. So I get it. And like I said earlier, how are they making these changes? They're going after our kids, for crying out loud. Getting my mouth dry here. They're coming after our kids. I mean, what do you think drag queen story hour is about? Why do you think mandatory LGBTQ plus curriculum is pushed into the schools to where you, I mean, when I was a kid, sex education was something your parents could opt you out of. Now it's like parents cannot in any way, shape, or form opt out in any way. In fact, they do everything they can to not let the parents know what's being taught. Why do you think that transing kids is so very important to these individuals? It's to destroy an entire generation with any thought whatsoever about Christian values. Of course it's an attack on us, and of course they want us to be quiet. So I get it. There's a ton of evil pressure being brought against us, and we need to speak against it. We need to say, "Thus saith the Lord." So I'm getting some sort of note that there's an encoding error. I really hope this is recording well. Oh, my. So that's going to be fun. All right. So with that said, let's move forward. We still need to speak clearly. We still need to speak firmly without apology. We still need to be able to say to the world, "This is what God has said. This is the judgment that will be brought upon you if you continue to do this. And so therefore, you need to repent of this. You need to turn to Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And this nation should not be doing these things lest greater judgment be brought upon it. So absolutely, these are important things that we need to be considering. So, but again, we still have to watch our mouths. We cannot adopt the ways of the world as we go into these discussions. Wow, I keep getting that encoding overload. Man, I hope this video comes out fine. So what's the antidote? This might be a shorter episode today, guys, only because whatever setting changes I made, OBS is not liking. So we'll try. So what's the antidote? Well, in James 3:13, he writes, "Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom." Where do we get wisdom? Well, we get it from the scriptures. We get it from the word of God, right? We get it from the Bible. And meekness, by the way, is not weakness. Meekness is power under control. So as Christians, we have the power of God in us because we have the Holy Spirit. We have the word of God before us, and we implant it into our hearts and minds through the study of the word. So we are conforming ourselves to the image and likeness of Christ as we continue to grow in our prayers and our studies and the way we live. And so what we're trying to do is conform ourselves and be made like him. So to do that, that means that we have to be ourselves under control. We have the power of God before us and in us, but we have to be controlling of how we use it. Therefore, we cannot just simply say, well, I'm a Christian and what you're doing is wrong, so I can let loose every invective I can think of to shut you down because what you're doing is so terrible. We literally have to control ourselves and constrain ourselves so that when we are responding, we're pointing people to Christ, to the Word. We're drawing the truth of the Word out and pointing the world to it. And our desire is not just to win some argument. Our desire isn't to make everybody look bad. Rather, our desire is to communicate to the people that you are standing in opposition to God by what you're doing. And no matter whether you win or lose this earthly battle, you will stand before God on Judgment Day. And so that's something we need to give deep consideration to, because it's so easy to be drawn in. We want to draw on our own power. We want to draw on our own abilities so that we can knock down these horrible, wicked people and their arguments. And we want to really make them feel the sting of how bad they are. But God's word tells us you don't draw upon the power of the world. You draw upon the power of Christ. And you do so in a manner that constrains you so that you honor God with your lips. That is why James says that, you know, it's who's the one that shows wisdom and understanding? It's by having that good conduct that comes through the meekness of wisdom. That's the antidote, being constrained by this. We don't study the word so that we can find all those good power smacks, right? We don't study the word so we can, you know, hit somebody right upside the head and make them feel how wicked they are. Although we want them to see their wickedness. We want them to recognize how vile their sins are, but we don't do it in such a way to make them feel, you know, like we just beat the snot out of them. There's a temptation to want to do that. We don't study the word for that purpose. We study the word so we are constrained, we are conformed, and then we then in turn communicate that to the world. That's how it's that power under control. Now, I as I said in the article, one of the things that I think people become concerned with, and one of the reasons we want to be so forceful and so angry and so punch you in the face kind of response, is that if we don't get, you know, control of this situation, if we don't shut them down, well, they're going to come against the church, and they might actually succeed. They might actually control speech. They might make it impossible for churches to meet. They might bring persecution. So if we don't say something, if we don't do something, well, man, this is going to go bad real fast. And I agree. I understand that concern. It's a legitimate concern. But at the same time, God is the one who's in control. If God wants to bring persecution against the church, he's going to bring persecution. And no amount of work on our end will stop that. If God doesn't want persecution, if God wants a nation to be free, no amount of work by the evil one is going to make that happen. Okay, they're not going to be able to bring it about. That is the realm of God. We can't control whether it will happen or not. We can certainly be used of God in those circumstances, and certainly we can be, if we still have a voice, if we still have the ability to vote, if we still have the ability to be engaged in culture, we can be used of God to be a staying power, so to speak. We can keep these things at bay to an extent, but we will not be the ones to make the final determination. So let's just say that up front. Now, that doesn't mean I'm saying don't do anything because it doesn't matter. No, please, again, don't hear me say something I'm not saying. What I am saying, however, is that our actions must be consummate with the understanding that God is the one ultimately who's in control. And so if this nation goes south and it goes into complete persecution, it's not because the church failed to act. It's because God in his sovereign will allowed these things to happen despite the church's ability to act. Now, if we are a people who say, well, it doesn't matter, so I'm not going to do anything, shame on you. You know, you still need to stand for the word of God. You still need to stand alongside your brothers and sisters and speak to the world and say, thus saith the Lord. And if you do this, if you come against the church, there will be judgment brought upon you. So don't be silent. But if you're someone who says, well, see, you need to be involved, don't blame people if and when God decides to bring judgment upon a nation because it has turned against him, as we see in Romans chapter 1. We have to be constrained by the scriptures. We far too often want to attack one another for our positions and forget God's sovereignty in the hand of that. So let's say that those who are concerned about what I'm saying are right, that the Christ rejecting world is a threat to the church, and it's gonna bring persecution, and it's gonna take away free speech and freedom of religion, etc. So we need to be mean, we need to be harsh, we need to punch people in the nose and kick them in the knees to stop this from happening. Well, let me take you to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. He says, "Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless, for to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing." Remember that Christ himself, who endured the ultimate persecution, who was put on the cross for our sake, did not revile in return for the way he was treated. In fact, he said very, very little, said almost nothing. It doesn't mean that we are told not to say anything at all. But we are not. Our speech cannot be evil speech. We can't revile back. We can't call people names and be doing slapdowns and smackdowns and saying, "Oh, look at that! I gave them a sick burn." Right? We are to be constrained in our speech, and we're to be a blessing even to those who would bring persecution. So even when we stand up and say, "Thus says the Lord," you will be judged. You need to repent. We're doing that because we want to bless them with salvation, right? We want them to be blessed in Christ because they have turned from the wickedness of their sins and they have turned from the evil of this persecution. And we have then handed it over to God to do so in hopes that he will bring them to salvation. We want them to be blessed. But if we do the opposite, if we return reviling for reviling, then we've become like the world. We have revealed the wickedness of our speech and the wickedness of our hearts. We're more concerned about what we feel and what we want to say and how we want to say it rather than being constrained by the word of God. And again, none of this precludes speaking against the wickedness of our culture. Absolutely we do. We pick up the word of God and we say, it is evil for you to harm children the way you have. You need to repent of killing children in the womb. You need to repent of using children to forward your sick and evil sexual depravity upon the world. We need to say these things, but we do so to draw them to Christ. Not so that we can, look, we made them look bad, and now maybe people will stop believing this stuff and will come and believe our way of doing things, and therefore we'll establish the nation the way we want it to. Look, I am all for seeing the wickedness of leftism, Marxism, social Marxism wiped out, and seeing a nation built and founded on godly principles and laws. I absolutely would love to see that. But that's not the end goal. I know my post-millennial friends will lose their minds hearing that, but that's not the end goal. The end goal is that I want to see people brought to Christ. Why? Because I want God honored. That's what I'm most concerned with. So those things may be ways that in which the ultimate victory is bringing honor and glory to the name of God and bringing people to salvation in Christ. Those things may happen, but they are not the end goal themselves. So I recognize whether that happens or not, God is glorified, and I am to be brought in alignment with His way of to have me speak. But you're just going to let the church I'm here it goes again, encoding overload. Folks, I hope this turns out. you're going to be, you know, letting the church be beaten down. You're okay with all these evil things. You're okay with Christians' kids being taken from. No, I'm not okay with any of that. But Scripture speaks to that, right? Going back to the 1 Peter in chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. But if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honor Christ as Lord, the Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. Okay, stop and think about that, what I just read here. Peter says, we will be facing persecution. It's going to happen. And so even if we do, even if we're persecuted, even if the whole culture comes against us and we become a totalitarian dictatorship and we face that persecution, number one, we're going to be blessed because we suffered for righteousness' sake, because we stood for the word of God. Number two, when we are put to the trial, when we're brought before magistrates, when we're brought before the people, and that why would you say such things? Why would you do these things? I give an answer. But I do it with what? Gentleness and respect. So if we're to do that, even when facing persecution, how should we do it now? Oh, well, it doesn't say you can't say mean things when you're not facing persecution. Well, stop and think for a second. If you're to say it with gentleness and respect, even when you face the potential death penalty for holding biblical truth and proclaiming it, then even now we should be doing likewise. And ultimately, it is God's word that says it would be better for us to suffer for doing good, doing what God has commanded of us, than to suffer for doing evil. If we are speaking evil, if we are acting in an evil manner, and we face suffering, we brought it upon ourselves. But if we hold to the word of God, speak the truth with passion, speak it with firmness, speak it without apology, without nuance, without watering it down, then by all means, if we still face persecution, then that is a blessing from the Lord. So as we wrap this up, and I do want to end it short only because apparently some setting in my computer is not liking how I tweaked the video. So I'm really hoping this thing worked out okay. I'm sorry, I think I've said that more than once, and it's just, I'm treading new territory, guys. I'm trying to do new stuff, and still a lot of settings I don't understand. So getting back to what I was saying. Ultimately, when it comes to how the Christian speaks, the things that we are to say and to do, we are commanded of God to constrain it and speak in manners that represent the truth of His word without equivocation, without wavering. But we do so in such a way that we are honoring God because we are being we're being gentle, we're being respectful, we're reflecting God's truth and with love, and we're doing it in such a way that the people that come against us cannot say, well, we're attacking them because they've done these evil things and they actually have something to stand on. Rather, oh, they're evil because they're Christians. And yet, on the day of judgment, they're going to say everything they did was in alignment with the God we hate. And that's what we're called to. So I get it. And by the way, none of this precludes that scripture often has examples of hard speech. You know, we have the mockery of Elijah when he's facing the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. We have Jesus himself saying to the Pharisees, "You whitewashed tombs full of dead men's bones." Over and over again, we see hard speech, and hard speech may be appropriate at certain times in certain ways, provided what they are doing is pointing the people back to Christ. But that is not the norm, nor is a specific command. These are the examples that are given to us of times when it was appropriate, but the commands, as we see in both James 3 and 1 Peter 3, to model our speech in such a way that the world doesn't have a reason to come against us simply because we're deciding to be evil in the way we speak. What does that look like? Well, I think one of the most prominent ways I see, it's 90% of this I see is online, how gay, how effeminate, or, oh, you know, you guys are just fill in the blank insult name, and tearing people down, just using guttural speech, identifying rightly the sin, but then just kind of, how can I say this? No, showing no concern for the lostness of their souls, but rather just to get the sick burn in and get people on your side to pat you on the back and say, look, you made that person look really stupid. Those are the things that I think that we are, being crass in our speech, being coarse language, just because we can. Well, they're not going to understand unless we say this. Yes, they will. Yeah, you can talk to anybody about anything in the scriptures and never have to be crass, never have to be coarse, and they'll get it, and they'll be just as offended. But you didn't add to it by using that guttural speech. And so those are the things I think so often happen. And I think whether we're engaged in politics or social issues, culture war stuff, or we're really getting into the meat and potatoes of what Scripture says, if we temper our tongue, if we control it and conform it to what Scripture commands of us, then guess what? The Word of God's going to go forth. It's going to speak the truth. God, through His Holy Spirit, is going to bring conviction, and people are going to be brought to Christ according to God's will. And we don't need to add to that insult just to do it. So that would be my encouragement to you today. Like I said, I'll put the link to the article if you want to read it more in detail. I'll put that in the show notes. If you're on Twitter and you prefer reading from there, I'll put that one. And if you like, I hate Twitter, don't want to be on there, I've also got on our website, Slave to the King, so I'll put both links there. So thank you for being with us. Like I said, I'm going to cut this one a little bit short because I changed some setting and I don't think the computer's liking it much, and I don't want it to crash before I end the episode. So thank you guys for being with us. Again, please keep Rich and his family in your prayers. Pray that we can get this, get together this weekend and do a proper, episode honoring 8 years that the Lord has been gracious to us to allow us to be on the air, and hopefully we can have a little bit of fun with that. So as my brother says this, each and every week, find someone and proclaim the biblical way of salvation to him. And then what I would just say to you, as I usually do, whatever you do this week, do it for the glory of God. We are so grateful to have you guys with us, so grateful that you continue to be supportive of this program in various ways and fashions, and that you continue to join us each and every week. So God bless you guys. Have a great week, and we will see you next time.